This is PCJ Radio International.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Keith Perron.
We begin today's program looking at Freedom Radio, a radio service that's part of the Armed Forces Radio Network. They've been based in Afghanistan for a number of years, and they recently just moved back to Riverside. Now, there is a reason why the station decided to move to Riverside in the United States, and that was to keep out of harm's way. We have more now from Nick Roman.
That's the Kings of Leon. Temple on Freedom Radio hits from the home front. I'm George Maurer.
Disc jockey George Maurer is an Air Force veteran who's now a civilian employee with the American Forces Network and Freedom Radio. He broadcasts to the troops in Afghanistan from studios in Riverside. Riverside? Well, Freedom Radio used to be at Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan, but no more. So how did the switch happen?
Well, there was a radio station over in Afghanistan, and they decided to move those folks from Afghanistan to Qatar. You know, one less guy, one less gal in harm's way sort of thing. And so they decided that they wanted to do the radio shows for Afghanistan from here in Riverside.
Now, does the quality, does the content, does the feel of the broadcast change when you're not actually there in the place where the soldiers are listening to you?
Well, it's all about local information. So we try very hard to replicate what they were doing over there. We have a lot of the same contacts for what we call command information. There's a, you know, Texas Hold'em tournament going on over at the Morale and Welfare Center, that kind of stuff, the weather, the time. We try very hard to sound local.
Now, I'm guessing that you've had a chance to be in a lot of the places that you talk about on the air. Is that right?
Well, I was stationed in Baghdad back in 2005. But I've never been to Afghanistan.
So you have to sort of recreate it in your mind's eye and make it sound as local as possible.
Yeah, I just kind of think back to what it was like when I was, you know, in Iraq. And, you know, you're far from home. You miss your family. You know, I was never mortared, never shot at. But there's always this thing in the back of your head that says anything could happen at any time. And, you know, it kind of weighs on you a little bit. And it's nice to have that touch of home, a little bit of comfort, you know, a little familiarity to kind of take you away, even for just a few minutes.
We're talking with George Maurer, a DJ with American Forces Network and with the network's Freedom Radio Service for U.S. troops in Afghanistan. He does his broadcasts out of Riverside. Well, George, you have a lot of troops in Afghanistan with a lot of different tastes. So how do you decide what to play?
Our Freedom Radio Service is a mixture of hot AC, popular music, active rock, young rock and roll, I guess you would call it, mainstream rock and roll, and then alternative rock. So it's kind of a hodgepodge of popular music.
Now, you're a civilian employee with the U.S. Air Force, but you've been around the armed services for a long time. You've been on military broadcasts for a long time. Are there any consistent themes over the years that you've seen?
Yeah, I actually joined in 1987, and the themes are always very, very simple. Keep it local. No one can tell the base story like your local TV station or radio station. And even when we're in Riverside and they're in Afghanistan, they can't find the information that we're going to give them anywhere else. You're not going to find it on Pandora, iHeartRadio, on your iPod. It's only going to be on AFN radio. And that's the kind of thing that we've always tried to bring our troops, no matter where they're stationed. Touch of home, a little bit of information to help them pass their day just a little bit easier.
George Maurer, one of the disc jockeys with the American Forces Network's Freedom Radio Service. His studios are in Riverside. His audience is far, far away in Afghanistan.
That was Nick Roman reporting. Now, over the past couple of weeks, we've had a number of emails and letters that have come in from listeners asking about our shortwave transmissions. Well, actually, we're going to be resuming them on the 12th of March. And for that, we have something very special because it will be the 5th anniversary of PCJ Radio International. And we have something very, very special for that broadcast. Now, I should mention that this transmission is not going to be connected with any of our programs, but we will be a special program to commemorate the 5th anniversary. Now, how many days would that be? Well, from March 12th, 2009 to March 12th, 2014, just a few days away, actually, in fact, it will be 1,825 days. And that's actually a lot of programming. Now, for this special transmission, these are the dates. It is March 12th. This is all UTC time. And we have four special frequencies that are set up for this. The first transmission will be to North America from 1:30 to 2:30 UTC on 7730 kHz. That's from 1:30 to 2:30 UTC on 7730 kHz. And this is from the WRMI facility in Okeechobee, Florida in the United States. The other transmissions are as followed, and they're going to be from 1330 to 1430 UTC. The second transmission from 1330 to 1430 UTC, and that's targeting East Asia, Southeast Asia, and Europe. The frequency for Asia is 9335 kHz. That's 9335 kHz. For Europe, we will have two transmissions. The first on a frequency that we've used a number of times, which is 5995. 5995 from Nauen in Germany, the former site of Radio Berlin International, and a site now that is managed by Media Broadcast. We will also have a second frequency targeting Europe on 15455. That's 15455. This one is coming directly from Trincomalee in Sri Lanka, targeting Europe, and of course will be very audible in the Middle East as well. Now, the power for these are 100 and 125 kilowatts, and I should say right now that we were going to be issuing a special QSL for these transmissions. And I hope that you can actually tune into it. And of course, we're looking for audience participation. If you want to send us a recorded message, well, just do it. But send it to us before March the 7th. Before March the 7th. And if you have no way of recording an MP3 at your end, you could also let us know your phone number and we can call you back. And the message can be up to 2 minutes. The email address to send your information to if you want to participate in that program is pcj@pcjmedia.com. That's pcj@pcjmedia.com. Of course, all this information is available at our website if, by chance, you didn't have enough time to write it down. This is Media Network Plus. We now move on to a long awaited radio review, a receiver review that we've actually been planning for a number of weeks. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that the review that we're going to have today is going to be very different from the more in-depth one that we're working for our video review. So it'll be quite different, but we can at least give you a little bit of a sampling of what this one is all about. It's about a receiver that came out late last year that has had a lot of talk on various different SWL blogs. Now, what is interesting, of course, is that it's like anything else. Some people like it and some people don't. And one of my big criticisms, if I can use that word, of when people, let's say, review as new technological product is they try to review it with something that is not even comparable. Now, the receiver is a new receiver from Texan. It's called the PL880. Now, a while back, I think it was back in December, I saw some reviews online on various different sites, and people were complaining that they didn't like the quality, etc., etc. Well, it's a little bit misleading because they were comparing the radio to radios that are worth a couple of thousand dollars, like an Icom or a Kenwood. You can't really do that. You know, you have to compare it with something that is similar. So hopefully today we're going to be able to do that. Yes. So anyway, this receiver came out in December. And many people are referring to this radio as the upgrade to the PL660, which is a very popular receiver for Texan. The previous one, which was the PL-600, many people raved about, and many people say they enjoyed it very much, just like the PL-660. The new PL-880, I think, will fall into the same category, but one thing that I did notice is there seems to be an improvement in the build quality. This receiver seems to be a little bit more sturdy. It is heavier, by the way, than the PL-660, than anything that they've done before. Now, when trying this receiver out, I, of course, compared it to the PL-660 and also the Sanjen ATS-909X that we've talked about a number of times before. And honestly, I think it sort of is at par with the Sanjen ATS-909X. The receiver has three tuning buttons, one for volume, of course, and then two for the dial. One of the knobs goes 1 kilohertz, the second one goes every 5 kilohertz, and it's not like the traditional kind that you see on a lot of receivers where the knob kind of sticks out from the radio. This one is sort of, it's flush with the radio, and it uses the same kind of technology for tuning as there are on some other Texan radios. That's, of course, a big difference. The other one, of course, is the reception of the receiver. I was very surprised at how incredibly sensitive it is when I compare it, let's say, to the PL-660 or the Sanjen ATS-909X. One of the things, of course, that jumped out at me is, you know, if I'm going to try it out, I'm not going to use an external antenna. I will use either the antenna built in the radio, the whip antenna, or a Sony active antenna like the AN1. And basically, it performs extraordinarily well. Actually, it performs so well that a lot of receivers on the side will have a switch that has SW antenna gain. There's usually three settings: local, normal, and DX. And this radio is so sensitive that when I was tuning around to probably even stations that I would not consider the weakest, but are almost the weakest, I actually just set it on normal. Every time I put it on DX, there was a tremendous amount of receiver overload, which was very surprising, actually, because I've never had my other, you know, the ATS-909X or any of my other Texan receivers overload with its signal. So yes, this radio is highly sensitive. Then something else that I didn't notice about it is it, because it's so sensitive, it tends to be more sensitive to outside interference. When I refer to outside interference, I'm referring to LED lights or plasma televisions or things of that nature. The previous ones don't, but this one does. But putting that aside, if you turn off, I mean, you have to be at least 3 or 4 meters away from the device. But if it's away from that, there's actually no problem. So yes, it is quite an extraordinary thing. Like I said, it's extremely, extremely sensitive. There are, however, maybe I should leave that to the end. I'll get to the things that I like about it first, actually. The other things, of course, are the display. A very nice display, nice keypad, very easy to use. And the other interesting thing about it is the battery supply. Most Texan portable receivers, you just use AA batteries. This one, you can't use a AA battery, you cannot use a C, and you cannot use a D or a 9-volt battery. It has its own battery that comes with the receiver, a Lion battery that is a 3.7 volt and 2,000 milliamps. And it's a rechargeable battery. So this receiver, the only way you can use it is by the charger. It has a USB charger, so you can actually charge it from any USB device. You can use even your iPhone charger, a USB output on your computer. But I would suggest using the one, of course, that comes with the radio. Charging time is very fast. It's roughly about an hour or less. And the play time is quite long. One of the things I do like about this receiver very often, and I've complained about this for other Texan models before, was the light for the display. Previously, how it worked on many of the Texan models is you put the light on for the display, and if you wanted to keep the light on, you had to press the switch longer, and so on. So this one, they actually put a proper switch that is on the right side of the radio, also with a treble and bass tone button. It's rather heavy and has a rather powerful speaker for its size, which is the other thing that I have to rave about this one, because the PL660 and the PL600, I have to admit, I always found the sound slightly thin. This one is quite different in that respect. So that's actually not a bad thing. It has a pretty decent upper sideband and lower sideband reception. And a lot of people were complaining about it, saying they didn't think it was that sensitive and it wasn't that easy to use. I had no problem with it, and it was quite quite easy. So these are the good things about the radio. We'll have more about it, like I said, on a video review that we're working on as well. You can adjust the radio to 9 kilohertz or 10 kilohertz step for medium wave, depending on where you are. And the other thing that is interesting about it, and I mean, I can go into it at length, but we just don't have enough time, is that the menu itself is, how would I put it, slightly misleading. There's a lot of other features on the radio that when you look at the user manual, don't seem to be listed. Now, this is actually not an unusual thing. Every Texan receiver that I've had, the user manual is not really useful. So you can find out all the stuff actually by accident, or find it out from other people such as myself when going through it. We'll post the more on it later. So if you're looking for a receiver that is portable, like I said, it's a little bit heavier than the PL660. But if you don't want to spend the money on an ATS-909X, I would suggest you go for this one. The price is actually not that bad. Most retailers online are selling it between $150 and $160. One retailer that I do suggest is one that we have bought many product from before. It's a retailer based in Hong Kong called Anon. We don't just recommend them as well, but also Thomas Witherspoon from Ears to Our World. He bought the receiver through that company as well. And it was pretty fast, actually. And we've heard people that have ordered product from them before that it takes about, you know, one day to process it, and then probably 5 days to receive it from wherever they are in the world. So the PL880, yes, it's a receiver that I would highly recommend. But like I said, don't compare it to your $1,000 receiver. You can't do that. But I would compare it, let's say, to any other mid-range receiver, a receiver like the ATS-909X or Sanjen 660. We will have more on our website actually about this receiver, including some pictures of the ones that we were testing out after the program. This is Media Network Plus. Coming up in just a couple of weeks is an event that many SWLs that live in the northeastern part of the United States and eastern Canada are looking forward to. Of course, there's people from other parts of the United States and Canada that show up as well, and also from Europe and also Asia and maybe even the Pacific. We don't know yet how many people are going to be showing up. But I'm talking about the SWO Winterfest, which is going to be from March 14th until the 15th. This year, as it has in the past few years, is taking place in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania at the Doubletree Inn. And it's actually going to be, of course, a big event like it always is. I remember the year that I went for the 25th anniversary. It was a lot of fun. It was interesting, but it was certainly a lot of fun. And next week's edition of the program, we're going to be revisiting some of the sounds that I recorded when I attended the conference back in 2011. Where was it? 2000? No, it was 2012. In 2012. This year, looking at the schedule for some of the events, this is a Friday-Saturday event, but a lot of people show up the day before. When I went, because I'd just flown from Hong Kong after like 18 hours, stayed in New York one night and then actually went the day before, and a lot of people were already there. So Thursday the 13th is when people start arriving, and the hospitality room will be open, of course, at that day. And then you're looking at some of the forums that are going to be taking place. On Friday the 14th at 9 a.m., the first forum is going to be looking at internet radio with Rob De Santos, and it's about how the landscape of internet radio has changed. Sheldon Harvey, who's the president of the Canadian International DX Club and also host, one of the hosts, that is, of the International Radio Report on CKUT in Montreal, is presenting a forum called Radio's Future. There's also another interesting one here that has to do with scanning radio, scanners, that is, and that's by Tom Schwith, and it's called the Scanner Palooza 2014. There will be a lunch break, and then in the afternoon there's going to be a forum on pirate radio, looking back at the past year. Archiving Shortwave Broadcasts, another forum by Thomas Witherspoon, and many, many others. One of the forums that I wish that I was able to go and see myself is one that's going to be done by Mark Fahey, who was a guest on the program about over 2 years ago, who discovered the satellite frequency of Firedrake, the infamous Chinese jammer. So he's going to be traveling to Plymouth Meeting, and he's going to be discussing not Firedrake, but North Korea. He has made his travels to North Korea a couple of times, and he's going to be talking about them and also be talking about the radio and television scene in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. One of the regular forums that takes place is the one at night by David Goran called the Shortwave Shindig, which begins around 9 p.m. and just kind of goes on. It just goes on until, well, when it ends. There's going to be a live broadcast from the fest of the Shortwave Shindig, which will be carried on Radio Miami International, directed to North America from Okeechobee, Florida. That's going to be on the air from 2 to 3 hours UTC. That's 2 to 3 hours UTC Saturday GMT time. And the frequency for that is 7570. That's 7570. So if you are in the Americas and you want to be able to tune in, you can tune to 7570 kilohertz using a 100 kilowatt from Okeechobee, Florida. And by the way, I should mention that if you are outside the region, you can always listen through the Radio Miami website, the WRMI website, which the link is WRMI.net, WRMI.net, to get the live streaming of it. Some of the forums that are taking place on Saturday, Whatever Happened to Digital Radio by Mark Phillips. Jeff Eichner will be talking about loop antennas, remote receivers. Remote receivers is something that we have talked about before, i.e. Perseus, and a web service called Global Tuners, where you can be anywhere in the world and connect to any type of, digital radio, doesn't matter in what country, and listen to what is going on then. Then in the afternoon, Mark Fahey will be back with part two of his presentation of North Korea Behind the Curtain. That's right, more look at the broadcast of North Korea. And the final thing that will take place is going to be at midnight, which is Pancho's Midnight Ride. Now, if you don't know what that is, we will play Pancho's Midnight Ride from last year. And I think that he'll definitely enjoy it. It's a little bit strange. That's the only thing I can say. But strange is good, as they say. Anyway, for more information on the SWL Winterfest, just go to swlfest.com. That's swlfest.com. You can still take part in the discussions and forums that are taking place. I believe that because there was a cutoff date to receive the lower price, you have to pay another price now. But I'm not 100% sure about that. But if you visit the website swlfest.com, you will find all the information there. All right, now, it's the beginning of February, and we've seen some very interesting propagation events take place over the past couple of weeks. In fact, just a week ago, while tuning to Radio Australia, it just sort of disappeared for 15 minutes, and it wasn't a transmitter problem. Everything on that part of the dial sort of vanished just for a few minutes and then came back. So what can we expect propagation-wise? Here's our propagation editor, Dan Hensley.
Here's propagation for the week from March 1st to March 7th, 2014. A 10.7 centimeter flux of 170 on March 1st, March 2nd, 165. Back up to 170 March 3rd, March 4th, and 5th, 175, and 180 on March 6th and 7th. An A index of 15 on March 1st, down to 5 all week long after that from March 2nd to March 7th. A KP index starting at 3 on March 1st, and then steady at 2 from March 2nd to March 7th. 7 sunspots this week on our Active Sun Present. We have 1981, 82, and 84 on the east, with 1986 in the upper east central region, 87, 89, and 90 to the west. Active sunspot AR1990, formerly AR1967, poses a threat for X-class solar flares. A narrow stream of solar wind flowing from a coronal hole should reach Earth on February 28th or March 1st. Back to you, Keith.
All right, thank you very much, Dan. Well, that's it. That's all we have time for on the program this week. If you want to contact us, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. mnp@pcjmedia.com. So on behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well. 73 and 88 to the ladies.